Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, show number 7, Friday, November 1st, 2013.
Stand tall, it gets a little better. I see the wall that we can break down together. Stand strong, it gets a little better now.
Hi everyone, welcome to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. I'm looking forward to spending quality time with you today on Finding Your Voice on radio.dominican.edu. So come on in, let's talk.
Stand tall, it gets a little better. I see the wall that we can break down together. Stand strong, it gets a little better now.
We can break it down, yes, we can break it. Yes, we can break it down, we can break
it. Good afternoon, everyone. This is DJ Noni. Welcome to my show. Well, today, which is Friday, the 1st of November, 2013, I'm going to have a special guest on my show in the 3 o'clock hour. It will be Scott Sinclair, one of our religious studies teachers here at Dominican University. Scott is going to be helping me work on my senior project, which is an audio program of religious traditions and their prayer practices. Very happy that he's going to be on at 3 o'clock. In between now and then, of course, we'll do some gratefulness. We'll pick our angel message, and we'll pick our power thought card, and then we'll just be listening to music in between until our 3 o'clock hour. A really nice and mellow day today together. So let's get started. Let's get grateful. If you're out there, let's start with getting your feet on the ground, both feet on the ground, and take a breath in and breathe out. Nice and relaxed. So very nice. I think that getting myself centered is one of the most important things that I can do for myself during the day. And I hope that you take time for that as well. So as you know, every show I start out with gratefulness. I have to say this about gratefulness today. I'm grateful for parking spaces. I have great parking karma. Whenever I go anywhere, I always find a parking space. I often find them right out front. But even if I don't find one out front, I find one close by. I was talking to my brother earlier today as I was coming into Dominican and said, hey, yeah, I'm going to Dominican. I'm going to my class and this and that. And now I'm looking for my parking. And I said out loud, but I'm not going to stress over it. I'm just going to take one pass through, and if there's nothing right up front, I'll go to the Conlon Center parking lot. And those words no sooner came off my lips than I saw a parking space right out in front of Angelico Hall. It was wonderful, and I laughed and giggled, and we both laughed and giggled together. And I said to my brother, you know what? I want to change my mind right now. I'm going to use my parking karma thought and put that right on top of my life plan thought. So my parking karma thought is, I will always find parking. There will always be a parking space for me. I'm not stressed about it. If I were to say that about my life, I would say, there will always be great things happening for me in my life. I'll always get what I need, and I don't have to stress about it. And my brother said, you have to add one thing to that. I said, okay, what is that? He said, you have to be willing to do the footwork. And I loved that. So I'm adding that. I'm willing to do the footwork, and I'm open to what's out there for me. Whatever I need, it'll be there. I'll just do the work, and I won't stress over it. So that's my gratefulness for today, that I love parking spaces. They gave me that wonderful life thought shift. Now, I hope that there's something that you're grateful for out there in the world, in your life. Perhaps it's family, perhaps it's friends, perhaps it's a conceptual idea like having good parking karma. And so having good parking karma or having great life karma as well. But no matter where you are on the planet, you can be grateful for what you have that's right around you. Just notice what's around you that's good and going well and that you're grateful for. Love it. So there we are. There's our grateful piece. Why don't we pull our angel message? I've got my little cards right here. I'm going to mix them up and I'm going to pull one of them. Let's see what it is. Ooh, this is one of the best angel message cards. This one is called Transformation. Doesn't that fit right in with what I was just saying about taking that thought about parking karma and putting it over into life karma? I transformed my thoughts. I just said that. I said, I want to change my mind. I've transformed my mind to allow myself to let things in. Transformation. Where in your life might there be transformation? I was just talking to a good friend of mine who I was walking down to Angelico Hall with, and I said, hey, this project that you're doing, this is a life or death project that you're doing. You have to get this project done to get to the next place in your life, and you're going to have to kick ass. This person is going to have to transform themselves and really dig in. I can't wait to see how this project transforms this person's life, because this person is a really great, smart, interesting person, and he's going to learn a whole bunch of new skills this semester and kick rear end coming out the other side. Woo-hoo-hoo! Transformed. So perhaps there's a place for you to be transformed as well. So that's a little gift from our angel messages. You know, and affirmations are just built to help your mind think in the positive, because if we're always dwelling on the negative, then we kind of get dragged down by it. Yeah. All right, well, let me tell you that we are on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, here with Finding Your Voice, DJ Noni. Let's just move right into our power thought card. I love these. You know, these are from Louise L. Hay. And my policy when I'm pulling my power thought cards, by the way, is the first card that I look at is the one. So I shuffled them and I was going to split them in half, but I already looked at the card that was on top. So my commitment is just to use that card. So here it is. And it says, I'm a little nervous to say this card. Let me take a breath. I don't know about any of you, before I tell you the card, I don't know about any of you, but sometimes when we were kids, we were told not to brag and not to be self-aggrandizing and be egotistical or arrogant. And so a lot of times we reserve patting ourselves on the back and we're quiet about that. And as you know, I'm a very busy and vocal person, and here I have a radio show. But there is a part of me that doesn't want to go around patting myself on the back. So this card is a little hard for me to read, but I'm going to read it anyway because that's what my show is about. And maybe my mind can change with it and I can allow myself to go with it, especially since I want to be transformed and I want to allow the universe to give me that which I need. So maybe what I need right now is to read this card. My power thought card says, I am beautiful and everybody loves me. That is a very, very, very difficult card for me to read. So I'm just going to take a half of a second to let that sink in. So just listen to this music for a moment while I let that sink in. I just needed that, just that little bit of a moment. This is a big card for me. I am beautiful and everybody loves me. How do you feel about that? Do you feel beautiful? Does beauty have to mean how you look? Can it mean how you look on the inside as much as how you look on the outside? It could be rough. It could be rough to be thinking that you're beautiful. And then on top of that, everybody loves me. Everybody on the planet loves me. Everybody in my inner circle loves me. That's really hard to take in. And this is the way that I frame it. I'm beautiful and everybody loves me. But I really need to love myself first for that to happen. So let's flip the card over, because there's always an affirmation on the other side, and this might help us move to the next place with this card. So let's see what that says. One of my favorite songs is coming on, Swing Low. Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Love this song. Love it. Okay. The back of this card says, I radiate acceptance, and I am deeply loved by others. Love surrounds me and protects me. Let's read that again. I radiate acceptance, and I am deeply loved by others. Love surrounds me and protects me. I like that. If I'm radiating acceptance, that means I'm accepting myself and other people just how they are, and we all can be beautiful in our own ways. So I think I'm okay with that, and I can transform my thoughts into allowing myself to be loved and being beautiful, whether it's on the outside or the inside. Oh my goodness. Wow. I'm wondering if you have had any trouble, like I've had trouble, you know, accepting that about yourself, that you are beautiful and that you can be loved. And I find it easy to accept and love others, but I struggle sometimes with loving myself. So, you know, what do you do? What do you do with that? We can do it. We can get through this thing called life. Well, I'm looking forward to in a little bit, if you're just joining us, DJ Noni here on radio.dominican.edu. I'm looking forward in the 3 o'clock hour to having a chat with Scott Sinclair, who's one of our religious teachers here at Dominican. He's helping me with my senior project, which is going to be a Religions of the World audio program talking about the religions and prayer practices, just four different religions in general for the first program, and then I might develop it from there. So we're going to talk about that later. I've got a music mix today that is some of my favorite songs from my childhood and throughout my life that have religious undertones for me. I'm not a religious person per se. I'm either spiritual or nothing, and I follow many faiths. So this music is just music that has shaped me through my life. The one that we're hearing right now is called Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. I talked about this a couple shows back. That this was one of the first songs that I heard at a Baptist church, and I used to sing it when I was standing on my bed at home. So it was a big fun one. So, all right, I'm going to take a little bit of a break, and we'll be back in a few moments. This is DJ Noni, radio.dominican.edu, finding your voice with DJ Noni.
Is our God a bulwark never failing? Our helper, He amid the flood of mortal is prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal.
Oh, Baya, 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 bum, bum. Fire, fire.
Oh, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing.
Dost ask who that may be?
Lord Sabaoth His name,
from age to age the same,
and He must win the battle.
Dum, bum.
Oh, Baya, Baya, Baya,
bum, bum.
Baya,
bum, bum.
Baya,
ba, 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 ba.
Above all earthly powers, no thanks to them.
bum 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 bum.
Baya.
Bum bum.
Baya. Ba 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 ba.
A mighty fortress is our God.
Bum 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 bum.
Baya.
Ba bum bum.
Baya. Baya.
His kingdom is forever.
Radio.dominican.edu. Finding your voice is DJ Noni.
I've always wanted a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live
in a neighborhood with you.
So let's make the most of this beautiful day.
Since we're together, we might as well say,
would you be mine?
Could you be mine?
Won't you be my neighbor?
My neighbor?
Mr. Rogers passed along friendship in his neighborhood, hoping we would do the same. So let's get started. Friendship. Pass it on. From the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
This is DJ Noni here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. Oh, that was lovely to take a little bit of a break. I really like that song, Mighty Fortress is Our God. That was from my childhood. I watched a show called Davy and Goliath. I talked about that a couple weeks back. And I'm not a super God person, but it's got a lot of childhood memories around it. And then, of course, George Harrison is an incredible person, one of the Beatles. and Give Me Love, Give Me Peace on Earth is one of his individual songs that he wrote and came up with, and he was a very spiritual person. And what I love about the Beatles is that they had each of their different qualities, and when they were grouped together, all of those qualities made this amazing sound, but then individually they had these amazing sounds as well. So here's another one that we're listening to right now, George Harrison. This one's called My Sweet Lord. So we're going to listen to this one for a few minutes. Fantabulous. That was so lovely. I love George Harrison. Oh, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, DJ Noni, Finding Your Voice. Hey, I wanted to chat with you guys for a minute. I was talking with a friend of mine recently about jobs and work, and we were talking about how to develop a communication plan for a project that's coming up, and this is what we came up with. And here's what we came up with. So we came up with number one was the introductory email or the introductory first communication, whether it's email or telephone. In the past, it might have even been a written letter, but for the most part, we're dealing with email and telephone right now. That was number one, the introduction. Number two would be a follow-up email. Number three would be additional follow-up emails during the project. And then number four would be the thank you email. That's an important process to follow. And then, of course, however you start your communication, you usually want to stick with one style of communication, but sometimes it can go between phone and email. And you might do all the introductions and follow-ups and then say, hey, can we text each other or can we phone each other and go between. I like having an email string, though, so that you have proof of what you said and what you asked and that you can write dates down in it for when you're going to do something or when you want something done for you. So that's an important aspect of that. So when we were talking about that, it just reminded me how important being organized in your thoughts and in your process with whoever you're dealing with is. So if you're out there in the world and you're just starting out or you're stuck because you're not quite sure, hey, how am I going to communicate with people? You have your introductory email, a follow-up email, all your follow-up and project emails that go in between, and then a thank you email at the end. And that can also go for phone calls. So that's the first part of it. But also, if you're doing a project, you need some sort of container for the project, a binder, a folder, a file drawer, or some sort of record-keeping system so that anything that is a hard copy or written notes that you have are all in one place so you can easily find them. Now, the reason I say this is because I have multiple projects going on and I have my project in a file folder and it is great and it is wonderful. But what happens when you don't bring that file folder with you? What do you do? It turns out, because I have all of the emails in that email string that I have, I've got a backup of what's in that file folder. Today, I was looking for something that I needed and I thought, oh, I didn't bring it, but I have a backup in my email folder. So that's why that email string is important, but it's also important to have that, the hard copy of your written notes. So that's very valuable. Okay, and the other thing I was talking to my friend about is being concise in your communication. So we were talking about being concise, we were talking about being friendly, we were talking about being informative, but not being curt or rude or jerky. So you have to be creative in the way that you communicate with people, and you don't want to talk ad nauseum to someone about something that isn't pertinent. So that's an important thing to remember when you're doing your communications. Even in email, you want to be pretty concise. Hey, here's an example of an email. And if anyone's out there, they should be taking notes as I say this example, including you over there. Take notes on this example. When you are writing your email to someone, this is what you might say. Dear so-and-so, or hey, so-and-so. I'm working on a project for, and you name whatever company it is. Dear so-and-so, I'm working on a project for something or someone. My task is to obtain XYZ of whatever it is. I'm hoping that you can help me by providing me some of that which I need, because I think you have that piece of music, that piece of paper, that product that I might use. If you are able to help me with this project, I'd be happy to talk to you in more detail about it. And this is an important thing when you're emailing someone. You say to them, email me or please contact me if you're interested in, and I'll give you more details. Here is all my information. And even though you're sending them an email and they see your email address in that top portion of their email, put all your information at the bottom of the email, your name, your email, and your phone number. And if your title, if you've got it. So if you're doing a radio internship, for example, you'd say Penguin Radio Intern, Penguin Radio Music Intern, Penguin Radio Station Intern, Penguin Radio Something Intern. And then it's official. So you've gotten all of those things in there. You've gotten the intro. This is what I'm doing. I'd really like your help. Would you be available to help me? If so, I'd be happy to give you more details. Please contact me. And then send it out, sign it. Now, you've given them enough information so they know what you're up to, and now you're waiting for it back. Once you get it back, you know either A, they can't help you, or B, they can, and that's when your follow-up emails come in there. Now, if you've done that by telephone or in person, you have to keep notes on it. So you keep the notes on it, and then you go from there. So that's how you're going to start your intro with a person if you're doing communication that way. So we've got the types of emails that you're going to write. We've got the email body of your intro email. At the very end, when you say thank you, you have returned all of their items or you have used what they've given you. You send them an email that says something like this: Dear so-and-so, thank you so very much for helping me with my project. Your providing all of this information or materials really gave me great assistance in reaching my goals. If there's anything that I can do for you, please never hesitate to call because I'd love to return the favor. But again, thank you very much for your help and see you soon. If it's someone close to you, you can say, hey, see you when I'm going to see you. Or if it's someone that is not so close to you, say, see you soon. Have a wonderful week or wonderful day and talk to you whenever. And that's simple, it's clean, and you have remembered to say thank you. If you don't say thank you, that's not good for you or for anyone. So you always, always, always say thank you. And you always return emails or messages or materials ASAP so that your communications can be clean and clear. So that's my little advice session for today. DJ Noni being all bossy because that's what I do. Oh, you're listening to DJ Noni here on Finding Your Voice, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. Let's listen to a little Frankie Valli, and then I'll come back and we'll do a little recap and we'll get prepared for our upcoming interview with Scott Sinclair around 3 o'clock. Finding Your Voice, DJ Noni, Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Swear.
Learning how to project a confident, professional image during networking and professional dinners is a must. Come to the Professional Etiquette Dinner put on by the Career and Internship Services Department and enjoy a 3-course dinner while learning strategic dining etiquette. Your Professional Etiquette Dinner is Thursday, November 7th, 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. in Creekside near Calarega Dining Hall. The Career and Internship Services Department will be welcoming Gina Snyder, a highly rated etiquette consultant and trainer. The fee for students and alumni is $20. To reserve your seat at the Professional Etiquette Dinner, contact the Career and Internship Services Department at 415-485-3235. That's 415-485-3235.
Venite con noi per un'avventura fantastica.
Come with us to Italy for a 10-day, 10-night trip, commencing on May 19th and returning on May 29th, 2014. We'll be visiting Venice, Florence, and Rome with day trips to Pompeii, Orvieto, and Tivoli. The trip is being sponsored by the Dominican University of California Honors Program. However, you do not need to be an honors student to participate.
Tutti possono venire.
It's open to all students, faculty, staff, friends, and family. This is Matt Davis, and I'll be one of the tour leaders along with Dr. Diara Spain. To learn more about the trip or to sign up, please contact me at matt.davis@dominican.edu or diara.spain@dominican.edu. We hope to see you in Italy.
Ciao, a presto.
Penguin Radio at radio.dominican.edu. Finding your voice is DJ Noni.
Hey everyone, this is DJ Noni, Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni here on radio.dominican.edu. Hey, I just wanted to come on back. Thank you guys for being here with me today. I'm going to have a quick guest on my show with me today, a good friend of mine. His name is, I'm going to call him Jay because we don't use real names for students here on the show. But so my friend Jay is going to be here with me and we're going to get his microphone adjusted and get him on. And we're going to go over those few little items that I was talking about with emails and communications because I want to recap that. So if you're just joining us, this is DJ Noni, Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We were talking earlier about how to communicate via email when you're on a project. So I'm going to bring Jay on. Say hey, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
Great to have you here today.
Thank you.
Well, I was talking earlier about email communications. And there's the first email that you send out. What is the first email that you send out?
Well, the first one that you send out is an introductory email telling the person you are sending said email to who you are, what you're doing, and what your goal is, and if they can provide assistance.
Right, asking if they can provide assistance. Great. And then after that, let's say they send you an email back and say, yes, I can provide assistance. Then what email would come after that?
Well, to follow up, you would send a follow-up email.
Okay.
Just saying, great, I'll give you the details, any contact information you might need, what my main goal is again, what you could do to help.
Great. Now then you are in the process. So you've got an intro email and then your first follow-up email. And then after your first follow-up email, what comes after that?
Well, what comes after that is our various follow-up emails, which...
So the project emails, like going back and forth, oh, I got this, I got that, or do you need this, do you need that kind of thing?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, once you've gotten the project all wrapped up and let's say you borrowed something from them and you were giving it back to them and you got it back to them, then what's the final email that you send out?
Say it's a thank you email. You say, thank you for letting me borrow the equipment that you provided with me. Or if you haven't returned it yet, still say thank you for letting me borrow it and say, I'll have it back to you in the next few days. Let's see. Well, I guess the last thing is, whatever you do, don't lose it because you don't want to appear as a jerk to them.
Right, so you don't want to lose their things and you want to say, I'll get the materials back to you by XYZ date. Once again, thank you so much for your help on this project. And if you want, you can offer a trade back, which is, hey, if you ever need help on a project, feel free to give me a call because I would, you know, love to make sure that you know that I'm here for you as well, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so that is our email process. Intro email, follow-up email, project follow-up emails, and then a thank you email.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. And what else were we talking about? What's the best way to communicate? Do you want to be all crazy and wild and talk for hours and hours when you're talking in person? How do you want to communicate?
Well, if you ask me, to begin with, I think it helps to just be short, sweet, and to the point.
Great. I think that that's a smart way to do it, but you don't want to be all curt, right?
Of course not. Don't be like, listen, if you do this for me, there'll be $5 in it for you.
Oh, no bribery at all. Unless, of course, you're going to pay someone. But sometimes on your project, you are paying someone. Sometimes you're not. And if you are paying someone, you're going to negotiate that up front. Great. Yeah. Being friendly, but not overdoing it. Okay, great. Tell me, have you, Jay, worked at a job?
Well, let's see. The first job I do remember getting was working at Rudolph Steiner College back in Fair Oaks in the Sacramento area.
Mm-hmm.
What I used to do is I would help out with food preparation, But usually what I would do is help to bus tables and wash the dishes beforehand. I was on kitchen staff. Great. But what I would also do is I would take a knife, a fork, and a spoon, wrap it in a napkin, set it aside, and repeat.
That's good. So they really needed that care in the kitchen so things would be ready.
Yep. And the second job I remember having, if you don't mind me going into it, mm-hmm. is I was I was a records analyst for my cousin's company called Credit Relief Today. What I would do is I would go down to the courthouse, two courthouses. I would get a bucket of like 50 records. I would go through each one, and Credit Relief Today was a credit assistance program, basically. And if I found out that the person in the document was $500 or more in debt, then I would take down his contact information, put it on like a data sheet in Microsoft Excel, and then I would send it as an email attachment to my cousin's assistant.
Okay, so you've done food service and you've done administrative work.
You can call it administrative work.
It was definitely administrative work. And during those jobs, you had to communicate with people. You had to talk back and forth, and you had to take direction. How are you with taking direction?
Oh, I'm pretty good. I'm not hard to direct. If you ask me something to, if you ask me to do something, I'll end up doing it. Unless, of course, it's jumping off of a cliff without a parachute.
Right, of course. So you don't have authority problems?
No.
Okay.
Not entirely, unless I think that task at hand is questionable, illegal, etc.
Okay. So you're about integrity of task assignment, and you don't really have authority issues unless it's going to go off the deep end.
Yeah, unless, you know, harm comes to someone or something. Okay. Or.
Would you say that you're an organized person?
I try to be. I mean, I take notes during class. I try to keep everything I've got onto a flash drive. I was going to go out and buy two more flash drives at Staples today just in case, considering that I'm going to be doing this internship coming up, and I figure...
Well, hey, tell us about your internship.
Oh, I'll be happy to. You may have heard about it a little bit on this show already, but I will be more than happy to do a quick a recap, per se. What my internship is I am going to be doing a task known as music procurement. Procurement, to get or obtain. And I'm going to be doing it for Penguin Radio from today, November 1st, to New Year's Eve, December 31st. My job is to get 1,000 songs in MP3 format of the following genres: rock, hip-hop, pop, R&B, soul, country, indie, dance, new wave, classic rock, oldies, and I guess whatever Chris Isaak and the Indigo Girls are.
Great.
I've never even heard of the Indigo Girls, and the only song I've heard by Chris Isaak is Wicked Game, but interesting fact, he played a SWAT team officer in Silence of the Lambs. Blink and you'll miss it.
Yes, he did. I remember that. He's been in a couple movies here and there. Yeah. Tell us why music procurement is an important task for someone to do for the radio industry.
Well, one reason why it's a good task is because music procurement it helps to get music for the radio station, and music is the lifeblood of any radio station, even talk radio. I mean, if you listen to NPR, you'll maybe hear. The background music. It provides the cultural background sounds for a radio station's personality. Like, let's say you listen to, a rock and roll station. Like, when they come back from commercial and you hear a loud guitar riff, this must be a station that plays like Van Halen or Aerosmith or Def Leppard or Poison or Cheap Trick or something like that. Very cool. Or
All bands that would be great for us to have on Penguin Radio.
Yeah. Or if you hear like a bunch of synthesizer work, you'll be like, oh sweet, looks like we're gonna have some some Duran Duran or some Spandau Ballet or some Simple Minds.
Hey, having a variety of music is fabulous. Well, Jay, we are so thrilled that you're going to jump on board with us and help us procure our music, and you've got some walking papers on how to get your emails organized and how to make sure that you have all your records organized. Anyone out there, if you've got music, you can, let's see, go to our Facebook page. You can search us at Penguin Radio on Facebook or Facebook/DU Radio and put a note in there that says that you have music for us, and then we'll make contact with you and we'll get Jay on it. Well, thank you for being a guest today, Jay.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could help.
Right on, right on. Okay, well, listeners, it's just about 3 o'clock, so we're going to take a little bit of a break. I'm going to get set up for our guest, who is Scott Sinclair, one of our religious studies teachers here at Dominican University of California. So thank you for listening to Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni here on radio.dominican.edu. We will be back in a few moments.
Heals the sick, he heals the lame, and he says you can heal them too in Jesus' name. He lifts you up and he turns you around, puts your feet back on,
put your feet
higher
back.
Ground.
Thank you.
was just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight.
Good afternoon, listeners. Welcome back. This is Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni here on radio.dominican.edu. We are just finishing up listening to the song Losing My Religion by R.E.M. What a great intro for our interview with Scott Sinclair of Dominican University of California. I would like to introduce Scott Sinclair right now. Come on the microphone and welcome Scott Sinclair.
Well, first of all, I have not lost my religion.
Oh, thank you. Well, good thing. Shoo! And I also have invited back our guest, Jay. He's over there on microphone 4. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Jay.
Hi, it's me again, Jay. good to be back on again.
Great. So I'm going to leave all of our microphones hot, which means that you can hear us breathing, you can hear us coughing, you can hear us chattering, and the crosstalk would be heard. So since this is college radio, everyone listening, you get to hear the inside track. And the inside track is that if you are on a microphone at a radio station and you need to cough, you need to lean away and also cover your mouth. And if I can catch it ahead of time, I'll mute it out. But when you're not talking, you can back up off the mic. And when you are talking, you just get right up on it, okay? Great. So let's start our interview. Let's start with Scott Sinclair. Scott, can you give us a hint and a clue as to who you are, what your title is, your position is, and what you do here at Dominican University?
I am the chair of the religion department currently. My field is Christianity, and my specialty is New Testament. I'm also an Episcopal priest. I have had a parish in the past, but presently, since I'm working full-time at Dominican, I merely do a little work on Sunday. If I have a specialty in ministry, it is actually prayers for healing.
Prayers for healing. We're going to talk about that as we get into our program. For those of you listening, the reason why I'm doing this particular interview with Scott is that I'm doing my senior project, and it is on religions of the world and their prayer practices, and I'm looking for some insight and some voice clips to use in my project. And do you like to, you're Dr. Sinclair, or what would your title be? How would I address you properly?
Well, doctor will do. If you are in a church atmosphere, you could call me Father,
okay. But
doctor will do in this academic context.
Great. So Dr. Sinclair and will be helping me out with this project. Now, Jay across the way, tell us who, not your full name because students don't use their names on the radio, but tell us a little bit about what you do here at Dominican and where you are in the process.
Oh, well, hello everyone again. I'm Jay. I'm currently a student here at Dominican University. I'm in my first semester of my senior year. What do I do here? Well, I am currently working on an internship.
What's your major?
My major is communications.
What's your favorite class in the communications department?
That's a tough one. But
one of them.
I'll give out one, but it would probably have to be either documentary production or human resources. Respectively, those two classes are taught by Dr. John Duvall and I'm not sure if he's a doctor or not, but Dr. Brad Van Alstine.
Oh, yeah, you can call Brad Professor, I believe.
Oh, well, if you ask me, he should get a doctorate at least before he dies.
There you go. Great. Well, Jay, thank you for being here. And Dr. Sinclair, thank you for being here to help me out today. Okay, so we have our credentials laid out. Now, Dr. Sinclair, you said that you were an Episcopal minister. How did you become interested in the ministry? What is your experience with religious tradition? How did you get into ministry?
Well, I think everybody has a natural inclination. And in my earliest childhood on, I was very much interested in church. I always attended church. I loved thinking about God and meaning. It's just who I am. For better or worse, my parents wanted me to do something which they saw as more lucrative and prestigious. So when I was young and impressionable, they pushed me in the direction of getting into international relations. So I entered as a freshman in a 5-year mastery program at Johns Hopkins. But by the time I'd done about 3 or 4 years of it, I realized that I really wanted to do graduate work in the Bible. So that caused enormous friction between me and my parents. But without their permission, I did go to seminary. And then when I got there, I discovered I not only wanted to study the Bible, but I felt impelled to become a priest.
What a journey. That's so interesting that you, you know, most kids don't want to become a doctor or a lawyer. They want to go be an actor. But you didn't want to do the thing your parents wanted you to do, and you're like, I want to be a priest. Fascinating. And you went and did it.
I did.
All by yourself.
Yes.
You were drawn to it.
I was drawn to it, and my parents were very unhappy, but there was one memorable incident involving a neighbor, which is perhaps worth broadcasting on the radio.
Oh, please.
That my father had to retire early because of illness and because of contracts and so forth. They sold the house, and he had to live with a neighbor for a few months. And the neighbor was a very close friend of us all and did not charge him anything. And then when it came time to leave, he asked, well, is there anything I could do? And two neighbors said to him, you've been a good father to 3 of your sons. We would like you to be a good father to 4 of your sons. And Scott's been working 2 jobs in seminary to pay his way. Please take all the money you would have spent on meals and hotels if you hadn't been here and send it to him to finish his education. This actually paid for my last year in seminary.
Wow. What a blessing. That, I'm just stunned. What generosity.
My father was stunned too, but that's another matter.
That's another matter. We'll get into father issues at a later interview. So what does it mean to be an Episcopal minister?
Well, the Episcopal Church is the continuation of the Church of England in the United States. And at the time of Elizabeth I, there were bitter divisions in England between the Protestants and the Catholics. And Elizabeth, as a ruler, wanted to have a broad church which she hoped most people in England could relate to without bitterness. So she produced a compromise between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. So we kept things like the bishops from the Catholic tradition, but also put a great emphasis upon individual faith and study of the Bible within the Protestant tradition. And so we've continued to be a kind of mediating factor in Christianity.
And how does the American brand of Episcopalian churches look as compared to the type in England? Is there a difference, or are they all the same?
Well, we've been influenced by our culture to be more democratic. So, for example, bishops are elected by the clergy and the people in America, which would not be true in England.
Okay.
And that the laity have a lot of power in individual congregations, that they elect the vestry, which is the organization which deals with the parish's finance. The priest is responsible for preaching and sacraments and so forth. But it's much, much more democratic in the Episcopal Church than it would be in England, mm-hmm. or much more democratic than, say, the Catholic Church is today.
Right. Very American quality.
Yeah.
So from an early age, you had some concept of a connection with God. How do you define how that came into your being?
Well, I think there are two things always. There's always the question of your own aptitude, and then there's always the question of what meets you in your aptitude. And in my own case, I always was a person who had a deep hunger for God. Unfortunately, I was raised in a rather penitential tradition, which the Episcopal Church was at that time. And I also have to say there were dysfunctional relationships which were affecting my life as a child. So that my early religion in some ways was not too constructive, because I always felt sinful and inadequate. And I think in the penitential prayers of that time, which are now long gone, reinforced that. But I must say that my last year in high school, I said I'd had it with penitential prayers. And if I was going to believe in God at all, I would have to believe in a God who was more affirming of who I was. So that was, in some sense, my first conversion experience, even though I was brought up in the church by my family.
For the listeners out there that can guess or in... For the listeners out there who can guess what penitential means, can you describe for those others that might not know what it means, what the definition of penitential is? I can guess what it is just based on...
Oh, I'm sorry. I should have been...
Oh, no worries. No worries.
Penitential means apologizing, being sorry for one's sins, which is fine if it is in the larger context of an awareness that you are a creature of God and you are loved by God and that you have basic human dignity. But it becomes an enormous disaster if you are focusing on your inadequacies rather than on God's love and your fundamental dignity and rights. And of course, as a young child, I didn't have much perspective. And so there you are.
Right. And so as a child, you might not have been able to see that larger umbrella that was holding over it, and you only felt that negative aspect of it.
Yeah, and it was, in those days, the liturgy, the service, had an awful lot of penitence in it. Mm-hmm. And as I say, unfortunately, there were serious dysfunctional relationships which were infecting my life. I said infecting, well, affecting too, infecting.
infecting
my life. And so when relationships are telling you that you are inadequate, then unfortunately religion can be seen in that context. So that's what happened.
And so that your focus became, how can I be, I want to be connected with God. I have a desire to have that connection with God, but how can I frame it in a way that I understand it and get that perspective and have a less penitential relationship, but a more positive relationship?
Yeah, how can I see God simply not as constantly concentrating on my faults, but how can I see God as enabling my self-acceptance, my growth, my ability to love others, and so forth. And one of the troubles about focusing too much on the negative is it interferes with your growth, and so makes it more difficult to accomplish the things which your goals theoretically are designed to get to.
Before every show, or at the beginning of every show that I do, I have a piece on gratefulness. So I sit still, I take a deep breath, and then I talk about what I'm grateful for, and I ask the listeners to think about what they're grateful for in their life and lives. And that to me is a way of focusing on the positive, is looking for what is good out in the world and how it can come to you so that we're not spiraling in that negative aspect.
Well, I think gratitude is very, very important, but I think it's also important, at least within religion, to be involved in praising God for all the good things which are in the world. Because thanksgiving still, to some degree, focuses on yourself, whereas what we call in religion adoration takes you out of yourself completely, and you're simply focusing on the goodness of God, the goodness of others, the beauty in the world, rather than giving thanks for it, which says sort of, well, I'm grateful it's good for me, rather than acknowledging that the objective goodness of all that's out there.
This is a very powerful point about self and that which is outside of ourselves. Let's take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we will explore that aspect of ourselves as individuals and how we relate to the world out there and how we relate to God as we see him, her, it, or if we're not seeing him, her, or it at all. This is DJ Noni on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni. I'm in an interview with Scott Sinclair here of Dominican University of California. We also have Jay online with us too, right here in the studio. We'll be back in a few moments. Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Noni here on radio.dominican.edu. Welcome back to my show, Finding Your Voice. Today, I am very, very happy to have in the studio with me Scott Sinclair, Dr. Scott Sinclair of Dominican University of California. And we also have with us Jay, one of my fellow students here at Dominican Radio. And right now, we're going to talk to Jay and find out what his experience is with religions or his religion in his life. So what is your experience, Jay?
Well, my parents, they raised me to be a free thinker, but the thing is I was born and raised in a predominantly Roman Catholic family. Let's see. And I've never really had any problems with God or with religion or anything like that. But as I got older, my views started to change when, like, for example, when I was a kid, There's a story in the Bible which is about the destruction of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. As it kind of like, oh wow, those cities must have been filled with thieves and murderers and all kinds of horrible people. But I don't know if I should go into this, but then I learned that it was something else, and it horrified me. I'm like, who wrote this? I mean, that's terrible. I mean, didn't they realize that they were offending people? I mean, I know it was a different time, but in this day and age, I mean...
So it sort of freaked you out.
Yeah, I'm like, I have friends who are of that orientation. I support that orientation. If you love someone, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I'm like, and then after
so that really shaped your vision and how you grew up.
Yes, I really started questioning, like, does this really deserve to be called the quote good book? I mean,
you sound angry.
And concerned. I mean, God asking Abraham to kill Isaac, almost going through with it, and then God telling him, well, you don't have to do that anymore. I mean, just put yourself in Isaac's shoes for a second. I mean, just imagine how scary that is.
So how did that shape what you're doing right now in your life?
Well, I've decided that one day I have kids of my own, I'm going to raise them to be free thinkers as well. If they decide to do whatever religion they decide to do, I'll support that. Yeah, as I got older, let's just say that my eyes really opened.
Dr. Sinclair, how would you respond to Jason's life path of his journey with religions?
I think it's very important to realize that religion, like other fields, grows over time. I think you'd be absolutely horrified if I gave you a history of medicine and how people did medicine in ancient times, or even relatively modern times, bleeding people in order to make them healthy, for example. And so you've taken a very ancient part of the Bible, Hebrew Scriptures, and then you see this somehow as an indication of the way that religion has to be or Christianity has to be. I certainly agree that there are literalists, fundamentalists, who would cite the very passage that you talk about to condemn homosexuality, though it's only fair to say that what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah was an attempted sexual violation, not orientation. But it's very important to realize that religion grows, as do all human enterprises. And I always say that the story you referred to is simply the oldest and most primitive part of the history of my faith, and that in important ways we've gone beyond it.
Well, you know, I will agree with that, and I do understand that medicine, there has been very questionable practices in the past. Like you mentioned bleeding, like leech treatments and... stuff like that.
So we all get our eyes opened to the history of all of the things that are happening in the world, medicine, the Bible, and they in their own context, this is what was happening, and then how do we translate it to what we're doing in our lives, and how do we read metaphorically into it and literally into it, right?
Yeah, it's a question of finding out what remains central in any tradition. I mean, plenty of ancient science, even ancient medicine, would be considered good today, but lots of other things we would certainly completely freak out if we still did them.
Right.
And the same thing, to me, is true of religion. And as an Episcopalian, we always say that we are based on what we call three different stools or pillars. There is the biblical witness, there is tradition, and there is reason. And the reason is our own understanding and cultural perspective and what we know today. And so if something in the Bible contradicts reason, we say, well, that was what they thought 2,000 years ago or even 4,000 years ago. But as in the case of science, we can say, well, they were wrong about that. Or at least had a very limited perspective.
Mm. Now, and thank you, Jay, for sharing your... Thank you very much for sharing your experience and talking about how you want your experience to be formed for yourself now, and that when you have children, you would like them to be free thinkers. Do you think, Jay, that having read the Bible and having that experience was good for you to know about that?
Well, definitely many parts of it. Like, let's take the Ten Commandments, for example. I believe it's number 8 is do not covet thy neighbor's wife.
That would be number 10, but or 9, depending on which tradition you're in. But
well, that's something I would never do. I mean, if I see a husband and a nice looking wife together, I'll be like, you know, I'm happy for Bob. You know, he deserves to have a nice woman like Melinda.
So
I'm happy for them.
So there are some things in the Bible that work for you, you're informed by it, but it isn't ruling you, and you want to be able to think expansively?
No. I support gay rights, and I'm not saying that that's what part of the Bible necessarily stresses in any way, but there are parts of the Bible that I agree with, some that I don't agree with. Mm-hmm. I definitely believe in the Hebrew part that says, thou shalt not murder, mm-hmm. but thou shalt not kill. I mean, if you're a soldier in the army or some madman's coming at you with a kitchen cleaver.
Mm-hmm. You have to make a judgment call.
Yeah, either let the guy kill you or live to see the light of day again.
Well, the proper translation would be, thou shalt do no murder. I remember vividly in college, an expert on Hebrew emphasizing that in lecture.
Say that again? Say what the description was?
Thou shalt not do no murder. In other words, it's not that killing under all circumstances is wrong, but killing, which we understand to be a violation of ethics, is unacceptable.
Great. Interesting. Fascinating. All right, so here we are talking about our religious upbringings and the path that we've been on and the choices we've made and what we might do in the future. There, and we were talking earlier about your concept of God. There are probably, your concept of God, and we were also talking about the concept of gratefulness and how that you were saying, Dr. Sinclair, that being grateful in and of itself, while is a good thing, it is an act of individuality or somewhat selfishness. That isn't exactly what you said, but it's a self-activity, and that if you're being grateful and thinking of God, that it's a wider activity and there's a connectiveness to God. Now, there are probably a number of people out there that may not have a religious tradition or may not believe in a God or any God. How can you describe what that connectedness to God is like, that connectedness to something outside of oneself?
I think there are two things we have to say at the beginning, and that is, I think that as human beings, we are oriented to ask ultimate questions. The part of being human is we recognize that we are a very small part of a large universe, that we are a moral part or an immoral part of a much larger universe which has its own needs. So we're always, just by our very nature as human beings, always challenged to put ourselves into some kind of larger perspective, not only in space and time, but also in terms of ethics. So I would argue that as human beings, in a sense, we have a natural orientation to ask the questions, which for believers, God is the answer. Now, as for the question of experiencing God, it seems to me the experience of God is similar and different from experiencing a human being. So on the one hand, like a human being, the experience of God is personal. You feel that God knows you. You feel that God loves you. You feel that God pushes you in certain directions. Some people call it calls. I always felt more pushed, but that's all right. So that would be true of human beings, but the difference is your sense of experience of God doesn't have any limits. You can talk to God anytime. You can feel the presence of God in any place. So I always say to people that the experience of God is the experience of dealing with something which is personal but has no limits. And I think it is a fact in prayer and meditation that people's sense of time and space tends to fall away when you're in the presence of God. I don't know what else to say. I would say this. Try to imagine a relationship which you're very close to, a person, and then try to take the body out of the room and just experience the energy of that love. I think that's close to what we who have relationships with God experience. That there's not a physicality there, nothing you can look at, or no words you're going to hear, but you do feel the energizing, creative, loving presence of this one, and that is a transforming presence. It makes you grow and change.
I feel so calm when you say all of that. But there are people who wouldn't have that connection and don't believe in that energy. So if you were to have a suggestion for those people to, in the way of gratefulness, how would they approach gratefulness if there was no God in their life?
I don't really have an answer to that question, because it seems to me if we're going to be grateful, we have to be grateful to someone, not to something. We don't thank the San Andreas Fault every day for not having an earthquake. So we can certainly be grateful to all those people in our lives who shape us and help us and so forth. But if we're going to be grateful for larger things, for life itself, for the universe, for the beauty of all it is, then I think you have to be grateful to someone. And almost by definition, that is God.
Okay. Now, you talked earlier about having an aspect of your life journey around prayers of healing. Can you define what prayer is? And then we can go on later to talk about prayers of healing. What is prayer to you?
Prayer is communication with ultimate reality. It can be spoken, it can be silent, and it can be mostly you listening. So there are various ways that one communicates. So communication with a human being could involve speaking, it could involve listening, it could involve simply being together in love. Indeed, in the best relationships, probably we spend a fair amount of time just enjoying one another without having to make up words. But I would say prayer is simply communication with ultimate reality.
Mm. Jay, do you have a prayer practice, and how would you define prayer?
I guess as a way of communicating with God, or I guess what you do every night before you go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's the way it was for me as a kid. What you do before, and I guess sometimes after church.
When do you pray? Do you pray?
Every now and again.
And how does a prayer of yours go?
Sometimes I'll say an Our Father or a Hail Mary or God, look, I know we haven't spoken to each other in a while, but I was just wondering, maybe you could help me with doing this solid for me. I've been studying. I really need a good grade on this test. If you could just give me the power to push through it, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Dr. Sinclair, you are smiling while he's talking. Tell me your thoughts.
Well, I think we have here the most natural form of prayer. That is turning to God with specific requests when we are in great need. And that's certainly a very important part of anyone's prayer. But I would suggest, as in human relationships, it's very much important to also allow God to speak, just as in if you have a friend, you don't all talk all the time. You need to let the friend talk. So that what I want to emphasize is that a devoted life of prayer, I don't use this in a positive or negative sense, but a serious life of cultivating prayer has to have at least as much listening to God as it is talking to God, and at least as much asking that we align ourselves with God's will as telling God we need to pass the exam.
I enjoy listening. That's one of my favorite things. And someone a long time ago said to me, praying is talking, meditating is listening. And those two words can be interchanged, but I really like the listening part because I am such a busy person that my mind is always going so much that I feel like the messages can't come in. So I have to quiet myself so I can listen. I like the listening part of prayer.
It's very important to still oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there are whole traditions which involve stilling oneself so you can hear one's deepest thoughts, mm-hmm. Which is not the same thing as God. But for example, in the Buddhist tradition, it's not so much communicating with ultimate reality. It is becoming so still that you can hear all the voices in yourself, and then you can begin to realize that some of them are not very important and get to what is more central. And I think prayer needs to have that dimension of stillness so that the static in yourself can emerge so that you can know to let that go.
Mm-hmm.
But I would insist that within the theistic tradition, the tradition which believes in God, that it also has to be listening to something which comes from beyond just your own self.
Mm, very powerful, very powerful. Well, I would like to talk a little bit more about prayers of healing, and then a little bit later I want to converse with the two of you and figure out how coexisting with all of the different religions works. That, you know, if you're Episcopalian and someone is Buddhist and someone is Catholic or someone is practicing the tradition of Islam, how can we coexist with each other? So I'd like to touch on that in a little bit. So why don't we take a break here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, radio.dominican.edu. We will be back with our guests, Jay and Dr. Scott Sinclair of Dominican University of California, for our discussion on religions of the world. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu.
Peace, be still. peace, be still. The storm rages. Peace, be still.
Welcome back. This is DJ Noni here on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni at Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. I'm here in the studio today with Dr. Scott Sinclair, who's also Father Sinclair, an Episcopalian priest. And we also have our fellow student Jay in the house with us. He's a communications major here at Dominican University, soon to be our Penguin Radio procurement intern. We're thrilled to have them both here. And what we're going to do going forward here is we're going to continue our discussion on religions of the world. Where we're heading is talking about prayers of healing. And we're also going to touch on the fact that Dr. Sinclair, also Father Sinclair, teaches world religions here at the university and how meaningful it is to be of a religion that you believe in or possibly no religion, but also to teach and learn about the religions of the world, what value that has out there. So let's start off with that, and then we'll go to prayers of healing. So tell me a little bit about teaching world religions and what that means to you, and then I'll ask you a few questions that goes along with that.
Well, I think it's important to realize that just as every person has a gift, so too each community has a gift. And different world religions have different emphases. As nearly as I can tell, at least of the major religions, all of them are important and valid. So to compare two opposites, Islam and Buddhism, we can say that Islam is perhaps the most God-centered religion, tremendously emphasizing a relationship with God. Whereas Buddhism is the religion which most is concerned about dealing with your inner thoughts and issues and becoming peaceful through letting them go. So I think each religion has something to teach us. Of course, since we have different needs, perhaps people relate better to one religion or another. Since I'm a Christian, it's very important to me that I have a relationship with which God is not simply my father, but also my brother. And so what is unique about Christianity is its claim that God shared a human life. But there are things that I can learn from Buddhism and from other religions. This does not mean necessarily that all religions are equally good. Some things are more important than other things. But I think all religions work for many people, and that we all can learn from each religion.
There are some young folks on the planet that have been brought up in a religion, and then they encounter other religious traditions, and A, they realize that there are other religious traditions, but B, sometimes the other religions are evangelical in nature, or they're critical in nature about the many other religions that exist. What advice would you give to a young person who has a fear of being evangelized or has a fear of being downtrodden because they practice their religion? How would they stand on their own two feet being confident about their tradition while allowing someone else to have their tradition as well?
Well, I think it's very important to let yourself and others be who they are. Now, evangelism comes from two different places, one good and one bad. The good place is if someone really is received a great gift and is enthusiastic about it, then at least as you listen to them, you have to appreciate how meaningful it is in their life, even if you don't think it will be very helpful to you. On the other hand, a lot of people are evangelistic out of a sense of fear, or out of a sense of needing to dominate, or in some way being imperialistic. And that's a very different problem, that you have to say to that person, well, I have to be who I have to be, and you can't impose your system of beliefs on me. It has to work for me. So in my class in World Religions, I have a representative of each religion comes. I've had a Zen priest, I've had a Hindu Swami, a Sufi, and so forth. And the students have enjoyed them all because they are obviously very much filled with the joy of their religious path. Doesn't mean people are rushing to embrace all these different paths. It's always good to talk to someone who has been genuinely helped by someone and is genuinely enthusiastic about it. But it's always a problem if someone is trying to dominate you, trying to manipulate you, and so forth. And as in many other human enterprises, there are a lot of people who are trying to dominate and manipulate you. And then you have to insist that you need to have your own space. And the sentence, I need to make up my mind about this later, is a very good sentence to keep in mind. And also to say, no, it has to work for me. Just because it works for you doesn't mean it works for me. And God does not want me to adopt anything which is destructive to me.
Now, I'm going to ask this question to Jay over there. Sometimes there's been this concept of buffet-style religions or cherry-picking a religion, either cherry-picking the item within a religion. Let's say you were a Christian, picking that which you want to deal with and do in your life, or a buffet style of religions, you know, picking a little bit from each and creating your own. Have you heard of that, and how do you feel about those concepts?
I haven't heard of the names of those concepts per se, but I do understand what you are talking about. And I would like to say that I do cherry pick from Roman Catholicism, but do I do a buffet style?
Do you pick and choose from other religions and go, oh, I like the way Zen Buddhists work?
Well, I do like a lot of stuff that Zen Buddhists have been doing. I mean, they're, from what I've heard, it's a very peaceful religion. I believe that China needs to leave Tibet alone. China, if you're listening, come on, be reasonable now. You had enough territory already.
So you would be open to learning about other religions?
Sure. I'm not going to be like, oh, my religion is the best one of all. I'm not arrogant like that. I'm open. I can. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll probably stick with Roman Catholicism for the rest of my life because that's the one I'm the most, you know, familiar with. Mm-hmm. Most, if not all, of my family practices that religion. But if a Zen Buddhist wants to have a conversation with me, I'm like, sure, I got an hour. Go ahead. Shoot.
Nice.
They have a very, if you ask me, they have a very interesting view of the world.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jay.
You're welcome.
Dr. Sinclair, how about you on that? The cherry picking out of a single religion or buffet style religion, you know, picking from Zen and from Catholicism or from Islam, that kind of thing. What are your thoughts?
Of course, I'm in favor of taking anything which is genuinely helpful to a person. But I would give this warning. We would never feel comfortable about cherry picking with medicine, just taking the parts of our doctor's advice which we happen to think is pleasant or good for us. We would say, well, this is a person who's knowledgeable and I'm not. And one problem with cherry picking is you're the one who's deciding what is valuable. And often this is people who have very little knowledge, very little acculturation or sensitivity, and therefore you, so to speak, have become your own guru. And that has, you know, that's risky. At least the great traditions have been around for many, many centuries, and they've managed to weed out at least some of the worst ideas. Whereas you are a novice and you don't have the kind of knowledge and experience to realize what can be dangerous or useless. And one thing one should have to say, that in the spiritual life, some ideas and some practices are destructive. And you may not know that if you are just starting out.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting and powerful to put it in the perspective of medicine. Again, another great metaphor. You know, would you cherry pick something, some information or recommendations from your doctor? That's so interesting to put it in those words, and that there are dangerous choices that could be made if you cherry picked from a religious tradition.
And I think there are a lot of amateurs out there who will be happy to invite you into their misguided understanding of religion.
And there would be some cults out there as well.
Oh, lots of cults.
Lots of cults. Well, I'd like to shift gears here as we wind our time together down, because it's getting close to our end time. And I'd like to talk a little bit more about prayer. You talked about how you are pointed toward prayers of healing. Can you describe that part of your life, and let's see what we can bring up about that?
Well, first of all, everyone is to some extent involved in healing. It's listening to your friend's problems. We all know that when we are all frustrated and angry and confused and so forth, we can just talk it over with somebody. It gets better, and we often that other person doesn't say anything. They just listen. And we are sucking energy out of them because they're exhausted after they listen to our troubles. We're actually sucking energy out of them to heal ourselves. Prayers for healing are very much like that, that someone comes to you who has problems. They may be mental, they may be physical, but the body and mind interact constantly. And everyone has, to some extent, a healing energy which other people can appropriate from you if you are open to them. So we all do it. The difference for those of us who are involved in prayers for healing, I think, is twofold. That to some extent, we have a greater capacity to send healing energy to other people. But in another way, we do it in the presence of God. And I think all gifts become stronger when they are done in the presence of a loving and enabling spiritual being. And so I would add that I feel that I have been gifted with a greater ability to channel positive energy into people, and then I do it in the presence of God in the context of prayer. So that helps. And I don't know that our radio audience is ready to hear this, but I would be willing to give a free demonstration on either one of these two people sitting next to me once the show is over.
I was just thinking, I know we have 6 minutes left in the show, and 6 minutes might not be enough time, but could you take Jay and I through a little something right now in a couple of minutes?
Well, but the problem is it would mostly be in silence, so our poor radio audience will just have to... I don't know how you're going to cope.
So. Okay, all right. Well, after the show, we are going to accept a prayer of healing from Father Sinclair, Dr. Sinclair, and then I will report it on my next show.
Awesome.
Okay, great. But we could, if you wouldn't mind, we could come up with a prayer for the world, and that we could do with our voices. So what I was thinking is perhaps I can ask Jay, if he were going to pray for the world, what would a prayer for the world sound like? And then I'll ask you, Father Sinclair, what your prayer for the world might be, and we can close our show with that. Okay? All right, so Jay, if you were going to pray for the world, what would your prayer for the world be?
That's another tough one. I mean, I'll think of something.
Okay.
My prayer for the world would be that over in Japan, we can find a solution to the Fukushima nuclear disaster.
Mm.
Because from what I've been hearing, it's the worst nuclear disaster since the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which ended World War II. But the disaster is also a lot worse, apparently, than the Chernobyl incident in the Ukraine.
Thank you. Well, thank you for that prayer for the world.
So God, help our brothers and sisters out in Japan.
Very nice. All right. Well, we are just about out of time, so I'm going to ask Father Sinclair, Dr. Sinclair here of Dominican University of California, to offer his prayer for the world.
Our Father and our Mother, open our eyes to see you in every situation, every place, and help us to receive your compassion and your peace, that we may be instruments of your compassion and peace for the whole creation.
And I will say, amen. Lovely. Thank you very much. Well, I've been very, very grateful to have both Jay and Dr. Sinclair here with me on the radio today talking about religions of the world and prayer practices. We just did those. We will do a little prayer practice of healing after the show, which I will report next week. Is there anything that I might have missed, Father Sinclair, Dr. Sinclair, about religious traditions, where you come from, what you think, where you want to go? Anything that we can add at the end here?
I guess my primary comment would be that in our increasingly materialistic society, we are more and more using things to replace love. And that is a very disturbing trend, and we need to get beyond it.
Thank you for that thought. I will. I'm a universal energy person, so I will vibe the universe for that thought. Jay, anything that you have for last thoughts on religion or where you're going or what you're feeling or what your plans are in your heart and your mind with God?
I guess just follow the golden rule. Treat others the way you want to be treated.
A lovely thought closing out our show. Well, listeners, thank you so very much. Thank you, Dr. Sinclair.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
Well, this is DJ Noni here of radio.dominican.edu. We're going to leave today with one of my favorite songs. I have many favorite songs, but we're going to leave today with Godspell with Day by Day. Finding Your Voice, DJ Noni, radio.dominican.edu.